Don't you do that, man.
It's a wonderful thing to be in the house of the Lord with all those that are my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Your appeal.
My dear companion sends her love.
Amen.
She would love to be here. She's praying for us right now.
Amen.
But she just can't sit for very long because of the pain. But she is getting better each and every day as she looks to God above.
Amen.
Because He is our salvation.
Yes, He is.
You know, it's a wondrous thing that in all eternity we are promised that God will be with us. The Scriptures tell us that He loves us with an everlasting love. And there's a difference between the eternal salvation that we have and the timely salvation here on this earth. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, according as He, who is God, according as He hath saved us, according as He has saved us in Him, that's in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's a wonderful place to be.
Amen.
Not anything we can do to get to heaven and have that eternal salvation. Not anything we can do once we are His can get out of going to heaven.
Amen.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have that. But in this time world, there is a saving, that we may be saved from this untoward generation. In the book of Isaiah, in the 45th chapter, in the 22nd verse, God tells us, and this is in the King James Version vernacular. One time I was praying, asked to pray at a gathering, and I prayed in the King James vernacular or dialect, using thee and thou and so forth. And afterwards he came to me and said, he was of the Lutheran denomination, and he said, we have just decided that the King James was to be substituted into a different interpretation of the Scriptures. And he felt so sad about that because of the beauty in the King James Version and the truth that it expels and expounds.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing that we have this beautiful Word of God. But listen to what he says here, which is changed in some of the different Bible interpretations. Like, for example, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The other interpretations say, let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Now, you might not think that's different, but it is, my friends. You have no control over someone else letting their heart be in control of God. You have that control in yourself. Listen to what he says here in Isaiah. In the 45th chapter and 22nd verse, "Look unto me." Now he's talking about a timely salvation here. "Look unto me, since you have already been saved eternally before the foundation of the world, if you are a child of His. Look unto me and be ye saved." That's a wonderful thing to hear. Be ye saved. There's an immediacy to that. Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. We're talking about the sovereign God of the universe.
Amen.
Has told us to look unto Him and be ye saved. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. What wonderful, beautiful truth this is. Surely, shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. That's where it comes from. Even to Him shall men come, and all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. Listen to the timely salvation in that. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. We will glory in Him. Look unto me and be ye saved. That's taught throughout the Scriptures, in the New Testament, all throughout the Old Testament. It's all in there about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Even though we were enemies, and when we were enemies to Him, He saved us. That's in an eternal sense. But in a timely sense, there is time and time again that the Scriptures talk about a little word called if. If ye look at Him, ye shall be saved. Think about this. Let's go to St. Luke in the 8th chapter. The 40th verse, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him." Are we waiting for Him? "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And the woman, having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately," think about this, "immediately her issue of blood stanched." 48th verse, "And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." Do you believe that your issues can be cured or taken care of by looking at God? The Scripture says We are to pray believing.
Amen.
Do we ever pray just out of, maybe I'll ask, but will I receive it?
Yes.
Thy faith has made thee whole.
Right.
We pray believing.
Yeah.
Let's look at another example. Matthew 20:29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked him because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, the Son of David." You ever cried to the Lord saying, "Oh, have mercy on me"?
Yes.
And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately, think of that word, immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him.
Amen.
"Look unto me and be ye saved."
Yeah.
It's an immediacy there. There's no waiting. There's no in between. "Look unto me and be ye saved." Let me go over to the 8th chapter of Matthew. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This is after the Sermon on the Mount. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Is that believing?
Yes.
Absolutely it is. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be thou clean." That's the word of Jesus Christ. What do you think happened? Did they believe? Do you believe this story? Do you believe that God is your God? Do you believe God is God?
Yeah.
Of course you do. We don't stay there very long, do we, brothers and sisters?
No.
Things get in our way. We don't understand that we are not in control of our own lives. That there is a transformation when you look at God. "Look unto me and be ye saved" in this time world. Each and every day, whatever you go through, look at Him. It's wonderful that we have this precious God that loved us and saved us before the foundation of the world.
Right.
That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. All we think about, brothers and sisters, are all the downfalls that we have. Our ways are so wicked and so bad, we worry about them. That's where our mind is. Look to Jesus. He is our righteousness.
Yes.
He is the one that died for us and loves us and showed us a way. A way to walk in this life. It's precious. Why are we always looking at the wrong side of things? "Look unto me and be ye saved." When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately it was cleansed. I have had, and I know you have too, times of despair times of being in the muck of this world, in a pit, and look unto Him, and I have an astonishing feeling of peace that comes over me. Have you ever experienced it?
Yes.
I know you have. That's why you're here. That's why you want to follow that loving Savior that showed us how to walk and how to live.
Amen.
In this life.
Amen.
It is a timely salvation. Yes. It is a salvation from this old untoward generation.
Right.
It's a salvation from all the wrong things in this life. Into pureness, into white, into light, into the good things that God has provided us. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have?
Amen.
Isn't that a precious thing to have? That it's within us. It's God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Yes, He put His law in our inward parts.
Amen.
You know what's right. You know what's wrong. But we tend to gravitate, because there is none righteous, no, not one. But we look to Jesus Christ for our righteousness.
Amen.
Yes, we do.
Amen.
You know, I was reading an old scripture that I had read time and time again. And I got to a point to where, yeah, that's it. That's wonderful. Let me read it to you. Because there's much more after what we look at. I don't know how many times I've read it and just got to that one point and said, yeah, I like that. But the key point he was talking about is still coming. Let's read about that. Let's go in the 14th chapter of Matthew. 22nd verse. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. Put yourself there. Look at your Savior. Look at the situation. Think about these things. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. He went by Himself to pray to God. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That's this life, brothers and sisters. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do the ones in that ship believe that? And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Well, listen, brothers and sisters. God is a spirit. That's what the scriptures tell us. Are we afraid of a spirit? Our minds in the wrong place if we are. We are to look unto God and be ye saved. There's no other timely salvation in this life. Don't put your faith in anything but God above.
Amen.
But straightway Jesus spake unto him. Listen to that. Straightway. There's an immediacy to that. Saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." If it's you, Jesus, bid me to come that I may walk on the water, because you're on the water. Look unto God and be ye saved. And he said, come.
Yeah.
And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's the faith he talks about as a grain of mustard seed. Think about this. Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Yes.
But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. What happened when he began to sink? It's just like all of us. When we're in the most desperate situations, when we're facing all the toils and tribulations of this life, when we are sinking in our own minds, what does he say? He cried, saying, Lord, save me. That's not an eternal salvation. He's not asking for heaven. He's asking to be saved from drowning in that water.
Amen.
He's looking to the right source, though, isn't he?
Amen.
I've always thought about that. Don't look away. Don't look away whenever, because the storm is raging out there.
Amen.
We have a tendency to do that, and that was the lesson. But what does he say when he continues this? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? That's the lesson here, brothers and sisters. Lord, save me. And immediately look to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. Ask to be saved from this untoward generation. Look at God, that is the lover of your soul.
Amen.
Look at the one and only one that can keep you out of the muck and the pit of this life. Look unto me and be ye saved.
Amen.
Look unto God and be ye saved. That's all it takes in this time world. You know, the simplicity of God's Word is so magnificent. It's so magnificent that we can enjoy and reap the benefits of our wonderful God above that loves us so much with an everlasting love. He loved us. All we have to do is look to Him. Look unto me and be ye saved. My dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, if I didn't have that place to look in my life, but I do. I'm not even going to go there. I do. How precious it is to be here with you. Be with those that think the way I think, that love my God the way I love God. It's precious what we have in our daily lives from day to day. All we have to do is look into Him. Thank you so very much for your good attention. It's been wonderful to be with you, and my wife sends her love to you.
Bless you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What a
saving of
I thoroughly enjoyed the services today. Enjoyed the preaching, song service. Just seeing each and every one of you has been a great encouragement. We are so thankful that we have the kingdom of God, the Lord's church, that we can gather in like we have this morning. And it's for the purpose of worshiping the Lord, giving Him thanks and honor and praise for all that He has done for us. I'd like to call your attention just for a little while to the third chapter of the book of Colossians. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I want to read to you from beginning at verse 12. This passage of scripture has been on my mind this morning. Brother Darrell has already gone to it once, and I always love that one. Seems like the Lord's just in the matter. The subject matter that's on my mind is the peace of God and what that really means to us as God's little children. And in Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12, we read the writings of the Apostle Paul. He says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Verse 15 is the one that Brother Darrell quoted or read, spoke of in part in our hearing this morning. He said, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Letting the peace of God rule in your hearts. How is it possible that sinners that have sinned and come short of the glory of God and have broken God's law could ever be in a position where they might be at peace with a perfect, righteous, and holy God who cannot look upon sin? How is that possible? How can men and women get along in this world and not have war and trouble and battles between them? How can we find peace with one another here in this world? How is that possible? And how can we who are living in a world full of trouble and problems and tribulations and sickness and family troubles and strife and death and all that we have ever really have inner peace in our lives? How can we find peace in this troubled world? The world has many answers to that question. None of them are any better than the other ones of them if they're not founded in what God has said in His Word, what the Bible teaches. The world cries out, "Peace and peace," and there is no peace. The world also says, "Peace and peace," and when they've said that, sudden destruction comes upon them. And outside of one place and one place alone, there is absolutely no peace for any of us in this world. That is because without the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't know the way of peace. We don't know how to be at peace. We know how to fight. We know how to fuss. We know how to have unrest. We know how to hate. We know how to feel like we're not getting our just desserts. We know how to be selfish. We know how to do those things because all of that comes out of the nature and the character and the depravity of man, which by nature, according to the Scripture. I know a lot of people like to think that there's a little bit of good in everybody, but the Bible clearly teaches that without this way of peace, without this one who is peace, without the work of Almighty God, there is none good. No, not one of us. And there is no good in any of us. Now, immediately the flesh hears that and they go like, "Whew, I don't like that. He just told me I was no good. He just told me that there's no hope for me in me." But that's the reality of God's Word. When Jesus came, He came as the Prince of Peace. We don't have to question about that because Isaiah 9 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father," get this one, "the Prince of Peace." The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians tells us that He is our peace. That we who were the uncircumcision by that which was called circumcision, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers to God. We were without hope in this world. There was no chance or possibility that we'd ever be at peace with God unless one came who came as our peace. We're told in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are to be reconciled unto God who hath reconciled us unto Himself. And that reconciling unto Himself is means He brought us into a state where we are able to be at peace with the God of heaven. Well, how could that be possible? Well, then our sin debt had to be taken care of. And without any of my effort, without any of your effort, without our help, with my help or your help, the God of heaven sent His only begotten Son unto us. A child was born, unto us a son was given. In Luke chapter 2, we read about His coming, and He is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and bore that which we deserve in His own body, that you and I might be made in Him righteousness and be able to be at peace with Him. I want to say to you today that there's every reason for us today to be able to come to Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through Him alone, because He has made us to be at peace with Him. He didn't change to meet us. He changed us so that we'd be able to be with Him. Here the writer says and begins this. He says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God." Now he spent a whole lot of time telling us what to put off. And there's a whole lot of things you and I need to put off today. Now, how is it that we want to put off anything? Well, there has to be a work of grace in us that causes us to want to do that. Today, I believe you've come wanting to live better, wanting to act better, wanting to believe more, don't you? Wanting to trust Him. Wanting not to be afraid. Wanting not to be fearful. Not to be doubting. Wanting to trust in the Lord and lean upon Him. As He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You're to love Him and you're to trust in Him. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path and commit thy way unto the Lord. You want to do that better. There are some things you and I are supposed to put off. And he lists all those things. I won't spend a lot of time on them, but I encourage you to read everything that's come before. Because in order to put on the things, there's a whole lot of us we got to put off. There's a whole lot of me that's got to get out of the way today. There's a whole lot of me I need to put aside. There's a whole lot of things that aren't right that I need to lay aside. And the only way I can do that is through the power and the ability that comes to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're able to do good, it's Jesus Christ who worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We're to work out the salvation that He's worked in. If He hasn't worked it in, we can't work it out. But because He's worked it in, how do you mean He's worked it in? He's taken that which was dead in sins and made it alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called you. He's given you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has taken up His abode in your heart. And there by the Holy Spirit you have a desire to live better, to act better, to talk better, to believe more and trust more. And when we walk in the Holy Spirit, we can indeed find peace. And we find that peace how soon? Immediately. As we trust in Him. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God. First of all, there's an elect of God. Aren't you glad there's an elect of God? There are many people who don't believe in an elect of God, but if you read the Bible, you'll see it over and over again.
quoted to us already from Ephesians 1 and verse 4, as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. The elect of God are a chosen people, not just this little band of old Baptists, but out of every nation and kindred and tongue, the Lord has a people. And sometime in their life, He comes to them in the power of the Holy Spirit, and He quickens them, and they're born of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God takes up His abode in their heart, and they are changed. They're no longer the old person they used to be. God doesn't try to do that. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't hope to do that. He can do that in the womb of a mother before the baby is ever born, or He can do it at the last moment of man's breathing air on this earth. All we know is this: every one of God's elect, every one of His chosen, all of them will come to Him, and they'll come to Him in regeneration, and He will not miss one of them, and He will quicken them and make them alive, and then He gives them the ability to be at peace with God. Otherwise, they'll never be at peace with God. Sometimes men try to get good enough to be at peace with God. I got news for you. You'll never get good enough. Because on your very best day, there's enough wrong with you. As the Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, I find evil present with me. And so the only way that I could ever be right with God is to be coming before Him in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is given to every one of His children. He doesn't offer it. He doesn't hope you have it. He isn't trying to give it to you. When Jesus died on the cross, He had every one of His children in mind. He knew who they were. He knew what they needed. And while they were yet His enemies, He gave His life. Those who would have been always the enemy of God are then brought to a place where they're at peace with God, not because they did something right, but because He loved them enough that He shed His blood and washed them in His own blood and removed that transgression from them that kept them separate from God. And the most important peace you'll ever have in your life is to know the Lord is mine and I am His and I belong to Him. I hope you can believe that this morning.
Hallelujah.
If you can believe that, you can rest that one day you'll be with Him in heaven in immortal glory when all of this trials and troubles of this life is over and we're only here a little while. Have you figured it out? Time's passing quickly. You just blink your eyes and 5 years roll by. Blink your eyes again, another 10. And some, as they tell me, it gets to be 20 and 25. And it's that rapid in our life as time passes. You and I don't have a day to waste. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because He has made us to be at peace with Him. We have a friend in Jesus, one we can lean upon, one we can trust in, one we can go to. When your family's falling apart and you don't know what to do and you don't know where to go, just like a leper who had leprosy and had no answer in himself, was able to call out on the Lord and the Lord just touched him and healed him. Just as a little woman reached out and touched the hem of His garment, and even in her fear didn't even know what to say after it was all over. The Lord, the virtue of God just flew out of him and into her. He knew who she was and where she was, even though she didn't know much about it. Let me tell you this: if you love the Lord today, it's because He first loved you. And if He first loved you, He's always loved you. And if He's always loved you, He will forever love you. And there's absolutely nothing, no problem, no trouble, no nothing else that will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not because of what you did for Him, but in spite of all you were doing contrary to Him, He has done for us what we could not do. And we today have a friend in Jesus who has the power to bring the sun up in the morning and set it down at night. Who puts the stars in the sky that were the work of His fingers. Who creates every day that we sing to when we say how great Thou art. Who made the mountains and the hills and the valleys. Who has us in His hands, in the palm of His hands. Not just our names written in His palm, but we are in His palm. And how many of them is He going to lose? The Bible says He will not lose one. No one can snatch them out of the hand of Almighty God. Listen, salvation is of the Lord. You and I have Him to trust in. I hope that helps you when you face your troubles to know the Lord loved me enough to send His Son for me. And if He sent His Son for me and He died for me, then how can He not also with Him freely give me all things? That is everything that I need for the hour and for the moment. And we have some things to put on because of that.
Amen.
You see, as the elect of God, we have a God to honor. We have a God to praise. We have a God to live for. We have one to glorify with our mouth. We with our mouth are to make confession unto Him. With our lives, we're to live to Him. And we can't do that on our own. No more than we can save ourselves eternally can we do these things on our own. If you're looking to yourself to be able to do it, you'll fall short. But I'm telling you, when you look to Jesus, He'll give you each an hour and every moment that which you need to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him, and that you would have peace in your heart. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, do I give peace unto you." I'm glad Jesus doesn't give peace the same way the world gives peace, because the world gives peace. They sign a peace treaty, and as many have said, they shoot the guns before the ink's dried on the paper. That peace is just so fleeting. Sometimes we think, well, I'll just get everything straight in my life and then I'll have peace. I'll get all my health fixed up, all my health problems, and I'll have peace. I'll get all my family troubles and I'll just have peace. And that's the way the world gives peace. See, Jesus doesn't give peace by taking away everything. He can take away things because He can stop the storm in the midst of it. We see one place where He comes walking on the water. We see another place where He says, "Peace be still," and the storm ceases, and He just calms the sea. He can walk on the water. He can also calm the sea. I'm telling you, He's going to be our peace if it's out of the storm or in the storm. You may have that peace in the storm. We say, "Lord, take this problem away." And He says, "My grace is..." Do you believe that? Do you believe today His grace is sufficient? It was sufficient for the Apostle Paul. Has it been sufficient for you in the past? We sing that. Grace brought me safe this far. Grace is going to lead me on. Has God been with us in the past? Has God blessed us to go through things we thought we couldn't get through? Has God led us? Has God guided us? Will God take us to a place and then drop us and forget us? No, you may go through some hardships and some troubles in this world. He said, "In me," He said, "you shall have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation." Did He say, "Get sad about that"? No. You know what He said? "Be of good cheer." You know why? "For I've overcome the world." Tried to talk a little about the Apostle Paul when he was on the ship about to be shipwrecked, knowing that he was about to be shipwrecked, knowing they had done the wrong thing, knowing that the Lord had already told them they're going to lose the ship and there's going to be harm and to lies and that they shouldn't have been on the ship. And there the Apostle Paul, though was trusting in the Lord and in the hand of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the Apostle Paul and told him, "You're going to be okay, Paul. There's not going to be any life lost, and I'm with you, and you're going to go where I've determined for you to go, and I'm going to take care of you." And the Apostle Paul immediately, while they were in the storm, he said, "Be of good cheer, because the angel of the Lord has appeared unto me, who's the God who I belong to and whom I serve has told me we're going to be all right." Can I say to you from the Word of God today, to you, you're going to be all right. Isn't that good news? It's as sure as the word came from the angel. The message that comes from God's word is to us as well. And He said He would take care of us. He would never leave us. He'd never forsake us. So we do not have to fear what men shall do to us. And so we today can have peace. Peace with God, knowing when I pray to God, He will hear me. Sometimes we say, "Will God hear a sinner like me?" A sinner washed in the blood of the Lamb will be heard, because God doesn't look at you because of your sins. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus, and your sins have been removed from you as far as the east is from the west, which means you can pray right now to Him. Who is that? Every one of the elect, every one of His children. You say, "Am I one of His elect?" Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, that's an evidence you belong to Him. Otherwise, you wouldn't have love. You wouldn't have a desire to call upon Him. Can you believe that He is? That's an evidence of faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, peace is also a fruit of the Spirit. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, some things to put on, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. That's the love of God that's shown in action, which is the bond, the glue of perfectness. Without love, nothing we do is important. Nothing we believe is important. We need the love of God. We need the love towards God and the love God gives us to one another. And he says, and I'll just close with this. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Where is the peace of God right now? Where is it? He says it's in your heart. I had to get there. God put it there. Who is it? Does it have a name? Yes, it does. And the name is Jesus. He is our peace. He has taken up his abode in our heart. He is with us also in the person of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever disregard the importance of the Holy Spirit, that is the Holy Comforter that's with us in our life every day, leading us and guiding us. And recognize that our peace with God is secured through the blood of Jesus. And our peace with one another comes by us operating by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the peace that comes in our heart comes by us trusting completely in the Lord. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Don't pick them up. Don't try to carry them. Trust in the Lord. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cared for you. You let the peace then rule in your heart. So peace is already in your heart, but you let it rule. What's ruling today? Is fear ruling? Is doubt ruling? You've put that off. Then what do we pick up? How can I do that? By the power of Almighty God. By the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we believe. How can I believe? We pray, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, help me not be afraid. Lord, be with me. Lord, supply what I need. Lord, I don't know the answers. The smartest thing a man has in his life when he comes to see, he doesn't know anything. When you come to see how ignorant you are, and you depend completely on the Lord, then you have true wisdom, because your wisdom becomes the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has been made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Sounds like he's just about all of it. Matter of fact, not just about. He is all of it. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called. You see, we're called to be at peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, and peace in our hearts. And then he says, and be ye thankful. May the Lord just help us today in the midst of all that's not right. Be thankful for what the Lord has done. He has done such wonderful, glorious things. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.